Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Jonah today. It's one of those minor prophets there tucked near the end of the Old Testament. So if you're looking and you find Hosea, Joel, Amos, you'll then find Obadiah. If you then find Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, you've gone too far. So look for Jonah. We will read the entire book, chapters 1 through 4. Take some devotional pauses, think of some application at the end, and then close in prayer. I encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this book of Jonah that we can learn from as it relates to this prophet's relationship with you and the ministry that you gave him. And help us to apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." So casting lots was... it was almost something like rolling dice. It had, indicators on it to show what the answer should be. And God used that, it seems, because it says people cast lots, but God was the one who determined the outcome. So that's what they're doing here. So what happens? Who's responsible? They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, verse 8, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." So they're praying this before they throw him overboard. So remember, this all comes because God told him to go to Nineveh. He runs away, gets on this ship headed for Tarshish to get away from God. He knows that God is bringing this storm. They're willing now to do what Jonah is saying will help. Verse 15, "Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him." Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, there's nothing here that gives us any idea that this is a parable, that this is a fictional story, but every indicator that this is true of what happened to one of his prophets, that this is something God did, this amazing miracle, but he's teaching him a lesson. He's accomplishing his purpose. Chapter 2, verse 1, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. So, basically, you have Jonah understanding his sin, his repentance, and his praise to God, and a commitment, really, to worship him and to do what God asked him to do. So, chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. Good move, Jonah. And went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Okay, so, wow, this is pretty good, right? God calls Jonah a second time. Jonah obeys this time. He goes and preaches, and the city repents. Verse 7, this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. All right, this is the king now. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Well, this is awesome, right? The people repent. They proclaim a fast. They repent before God. And God turned away from what he was going to do in destroying them. It's all good. Jonah must be so happy. Chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. What in the world? Jonah's not happy. He wanted them destroyed because they had sinned. God shows compassion, and he knows he's a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. He doesn't like it. Now he wants to die. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. So here he is discouraged that God has forgiven these people, wants to see them destroyed. He's baking out in the sun. He's miserable. And God provides mercy and gives him this plant. Verse 7, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals. Well, Jonah's upset because God forgave these wicked people. And then he is depressed and wants to die. And God teaches him a lesson. Well, What do we take from this for application? What do you take? I tell you what comes to my heart and mind right away. God has such a love for people, and he responds to repentance. Always has, always will. And he wants my heart to be the kind of heart that is willing to go anywhere and say anything he asks me to say and do. And when people repent, when those who have hurt me prosper, he wants me to rejoice. He wants me to remember it's about people. He wants me to be concerned over the hearts and the destiny, eternal destiny of people. And when they repent, to rejoice like he rejoices. Now, it doesn't take long for Nineveh to turn against God. And you can read about that in the prophet Nahum. But for now, it's good for me to think about the people around me, to think about our country, our world, all the things that are happening. And instead of wanting destruction for them, I need to want what God wants, and that's repentance. Destruction will come. Judgment will come. But for now, it's about repentance. And when people repent, when they turn toward him, and when he chooses to bless people, even if they have not blessed me, even if they're not doing what I want them to do, I need to rejoice. I need to have God's heart. And that's what I pray for myself today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Jonah. Father, help me to hear your voice, to do what you've asked me to do, to say what you've asked me to say, to have an impact on the eternal destiny of people. And help me to rejoice when people repent. Help me to rejoice when your blessing is on someone. Help me to rejoice, Father, regardless of how I feel or how I'm treated. I want to be your servant. I want to have your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.